Okay, a good fach. We're holding over here. It's in the Surya Torah, page 484. Obviously, you expect Parshas Truma to have a lot about the Mishkan. And last year, we saw the Chinuch over here. Now, we're going to see the Kuzari. It's a quite a famous piece in Kuzari and a quite an important piece. By the way, Reb Shlomo, thank you for the bottle of wine. Your friend delivered a bottle of wine for Shabbos. Thank you very much. Okay. Omar Kuzari. So the Kuzari is going to speak by Rikos about Korbanis. And Omar Kuzari. I like to understand everything to rise for Korbanis. It's something very hard for the Seichel to accept it. So the problem that the Kuzari is most specifically facing is the fact that it sounds like Hashem eats. It says, you know, this is my supper, this is my breakfast and supper. It's called lachmi. So doesn't it imply this is actually sort of a meal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on? So first he answers, Masha Oma Kosov Le'ishai, Mitaretz Kol Kusha. So first of all, the word Le'ishai is the key word over here. Ki ilu Oma HaKorben Ahu, Valech Evrech Nechoech HaMichosim Elai, Einom Ki Im Le'ishai. In other words, the karbonis are there to feed the fire. They're the bread of the fire, the feeding of fire. The fire, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up, and it comes from Hashem, HaKorbonis Him Lachm, the Korbonis feed it, Veshiyoreyam Yochla Kohanim, and the rest of Kohanim eat, V'Kavona B'mitzvizu, Hi'arichas HaSeyde HaDorosh, L'man Shchoin HaMelech B'migdash. It creates a certain structure that enables HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell in the Beis HaMikdash. Loi Shechinas Mokom Kin Shechinas Maila. And the word, the Shechinah dwelling there, doesn't imply a place, but rather a chshivas. The Rambam says this, it's a take of the Rambam of the Vuchim. The Rambam says in the Vuchim that the word Mokom, one of its uses is stature or status. So it's something which has a makom, meaning Ashuas Hashchina, in the Beis HaMikdash, means Beis HaMikdash comes elevated as a place where one can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he's going to give here a mashal, a broad mashal, which is a very important mashal to understanding the relationship of all the physical activities and Ashuas Hashchina. We have a divine soul in a very physical body. Now, let's just speak outside a minute. You have this kind of setup where we all believe that the neshama is something which is not physical, 100%. It's something which is a ruchnistic entity. Yet, if the body is not okay, if I haven't eaten in 2 days, my neshama is very sluggish. If a person is going to, if you wound the heart, there's no neshama anymore. So you have over here a relationship where you have a physical entity, and it is a necessary platform for the ruchnius in it. So even though it doesn't actually, it's not the ruchnius, but it's a necessary platform for the ruchnius to be here. It's something, I guess if I can find a similarity, some similarity in the physical world, you have something like a catalyst, which never participates in the actual reaction, chemical reaction, and yet the catalyst is something that enables something else. So there is no, let's give one more mashal that I think we could relate to. if you have a computer, you need hardware and software. The software is actually directing all of the operations. It's performing in a certain sense, but it can perform it only through a physical platform. So the body is a platform for neshama. Beis Hamikdash is a platform for Shechina. If you want to take a muscle, take a muscle from the physical body. After you've arranged all the physical systems are working, so the body, when it is physically compatible with a function of ruchnius, becomes a platform. So the guf is not the ruchnius, but the guf is the chetimtza. Because yufra say that you parzemenu, and if there's some problem with the body, the seichel no longer dwells in it. So four things. So the four things that, okay, the food and the drink are the person's seichel, because you see, if you stop feeding the person, there's no seichel left. He dies no seichel. So in other words, necessary and essence are not one and the same. The neshama slash seichel must have a guf, but the guf is not the neshama and seichel. Ribbono Shel Olam needs a makom his galus, but that makom is not his galus. Ulam adava ena kein ki inya loyki goymo toiv la koil v'roitze b'toiv la koil v'yus echad advar mesudim advar muchnim lekalus anagosi. So he adds a little bit of a hesbet to it. It needs to be a makom that's a kli kibble for it. So I can pour water all day long into your cup, but if your cup has holes in the bottom, it's not a kli kibble, there's not going to be water there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours out Ruach HaKodesh, and it flows on a person. If a person doesn't have a container for it, it's not going to be there. Seichel and Das, all of these are mushba melama lamata, and the preparations we make in the lamata is to serve as an appropriate kli kibble platform. But certainly the Indian aloiki is not something that within itself has these shortcomings. So the lack of food doesn't starve the neshama, it starves the body, and there is no place for neshama to be chal. So then he says, the inyanim of the karbanis were like food. Let's talk about it in a second. If you take a look at the general tzura of the Mishkan, you have, it's like a house with an economy. In other words, the house has, the minimum house has is a chair, a mita, a shulchan, and an oyer. And that's pretty much the kodesh HaKadoshim. The oren, we'll see later what he says it is. Is like the it's the place where it's a mita or kisei. You have the menorah, you have the shulchan. Those are all elements. You have food coming in through mizbeach. There's a sort of a physical sketching out of a physical world, and therefore karbanis are like the food which keeps the physical chelek alive, and vimela serves as a platform for everything else. So So he adds a little bit of a knech over here. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to it by saying, you've been very, very well machas orach me. You deserve to have me be here because the tzur that you're being mekabel me is appropriate. Ula mu'atzim ekudish ne'elam en alas v'chol matzteyam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond my chol mishta, v'en lachmo ki l'nafsham. Halakena dove bikal ha'mozen b'kebo b'kovid. He says, take a look. Even on the physical level, when you put in a chicken into your stomach, a piece of kugel, the kugel doesn't enter your bloodstream. It's digested and purified, and certain essential pure ingredients, proteins, etc., are extracted, and they go into the body. They then give whatever is needed to the ruach moch. So the entire guf is a physical apparatus which, when taken care of, becomes a platform for something above. And then the nefesh lies in the guf, not physically, but as a leader, as a mashpia. So here you have the neshama in the guf does not eat in the food, but without the food, there's no neshama. The neshama in the guf is there, but there's no physical location where you could pinpoint on X-ray where the neshama is. It still leads the guf. It runs the guf. And so on. And then he brings the lev. Vehine in aleki chal rak al nefesh amkabel sasas seichel. By nefesh azois inim eschaberes kim ruach chayim choyim tivi. Ruach ze I efshalei b'lei mokor bo yiskasha ki yiskasha lohove bo yishab psilo. Vehanim shal apsilo b'mashaleinu alev. So there's a balance over here. Let's explain a little bit. There's some sort of balance between the lev and the moach. The Torah speaks about the lev a lot, and the Rishayim talk about the seichel and the das of the person, the nefesh maskelas, as being the equivalent of what we call neshama. Where does the lev come in? So he says there's a makom chibur between what's above a person and the person. That makom chibur, again, makom in conceptual sense, is the lev. It says, if he gives it a mashal to, it's like the wick upon which you have the flame. It's very interesting. It's quite an elaborate description of a person's anatomy. He speaks about the lung, the throat, the nose. Sarefis is a membrane that sort of covers the chest. Shrir amenia shrir chazeh is the muscle which lifts and up and down the muscles of the chest. Amaseyev was even which allows for breathing. It's quite sophisticated biology, physiology. You also need to get rid of waste product. You also need to have feet. So you have the neshama connecting at the lev, the seichel. You have the food which keeps it sustained. You have the feet and hands which would allow it to survive in the world. You You also need to have things that can register problems and a device to remember it. And therefore, the body needs to have physical chushim, senses, and pnimistika ones. I want to add a point to this, just it's kind of a bit of a side point where he says it, but he says the koach hadimyon means when we think in pictures and images instead of information. A child's most elementary sense of wanting is, let's say a child sees a dog and dog barks very much and the child gets very scared. So the child has an image and a picture of a dog, and then he uses, every time that image appears, it arouses in him a desire to run or whatever it is, to fight. So the thinking through imagery, which is Koach HaDimyon, is actually the tsura of, what's the right word for it? It's a primitive way of learning from experience. The mind stores it as pictures. It takes a lot of sophistication when we're able to say, okay, dogs are a type of animal. There are different types of dogs. Some dogs are aggressive, some dogs not. And v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. That all would require a lot more in thinking about it in order to use that information. Information by pictures, that's what he says, is the information that is readily available to anybody. So he says, b'meila, and the guf is completely mesuda in a way, a guf kula mesuda eifoi, seida ha'oila kula banogis alei, v'sha mishna mitash ha'nefesh. V'im omna ma'nefesh ha'chens ka'mamoyach, enzis kim shchines mishna mentos alei. So the main place where the neshama of a person rests is in the heart. I want to talk about this a little bit because this comes confusing. Are we talking about the physical heart, the stuff that a cardiologist deals with? The answer is, like always, yes and no. The Rishonim, anyone till a few hundred years ago, understood the heart actually to contain in itself some higher force. We have a simple experiment, which we do heart transplants, and the person is no different. But it does refer to something. The heart is the organ in the body that brings constant motion to the person. In other words, a person is laying in bed, the heart pushes a beat and pushes another beat and pushes another beat. All our other organs are kind of laid back. And if we use them, we use the hands, use the feet, we eat, et cetera, et cetera. But the initiation of motion, which is also something, by the way, one of the powerful tools of emunah, powerful I don't want to say reproofs, but contemplations. Anything, the difference in living and not living is not just complicated and uncomplicated. You can have a complex protein molecule, very complex, it's not living. It just sits there and does nothing until you roast it. A living cell, the tiniest small cell, is constantly doing. It's bringing stuff in, taking it out. It's in motion and constant motion. And when it stops motion, it dies. So in life, we have the life force of a person, conceptualize it, which is the drive to do, to accomplish, to be, to change, to better. All of that is called the lave. The lave is the right organ to use it as an expression of it. The lave is always moving. And that's a person's mitzias. So when we talk about a person's drive as a living being to do, to accomplish, to, all of that is the heart, is called the heart. The seichel understands, comprehends, has a tfis in something. But these are two different elements. Okay, now he says, so now they sketch out what a person's like. the Kuzari compares to it, the Mishkan. But Daimel is a Sudo Uma Chai Loikis Kedivri Yoshua, that he said, Bezois Tedum Kekel Chai Bekirbechem. The word Kel Chai, he feels, is sort of analogous to this. Bechol is Rotzape Bu Uma Nifle Ishbert Sinai, Vahayel Zela Ois Kniskab Mechasim Akinasim. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with what they're doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring a fire down. It would be Mekabel the Karbanis, and that was a simon that it was good. Fire is the most defined entity. So the fire represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fact that he was Misratzeh, but that landed actually on the most physical elements of the person. These are all different instruments that allow for that. Then the oilas and perisamim shara mishash namor, the mizbeach ha'oila, the mizbeach hazov is a refined, more refined. The mnoira has orachach madas, the shulchan, shefa chomri, k'moshar ha'chazan, rachid yachmiyat, and so on and so forth. Kol elek the shoros la'on akuvim. So all of that was just the platform for the Aron and the Kruvim. So the Aron and Kruvim were like the heart and the seichel, and all of the other instruments were just a chetimtze for it. The elaf heimutzuk look the shoros the shimush the makior or the kano milkechayim machtas kairos and so forth. The oid kol elu hutzuk the shmir v'techa mishra mechseu. They all needed shmira. So he had the Bnei Levi as the Noisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the things that were most fitting. I'm skimming through. I want to finish the piece. Kudus Elazar Kainas and so on. So it says everything went by the higher, the more refined of a kli it was, the more refined of a Levi took it. And then Kahas came afterwards, and they got the more the Pnimistic Kalim. They didn't get the Aron and so on, but they got the more Pnimistic Kalim. And he says the you see it also in the Varm of a person. They are more refined. The more refined they are, the higher they are in the hierarchy, and so on. I'm skimming through the whole thing. Okay, let's see the next page over here. The Einan Itoyin V'Oimer. Okay, so now he's finished a description of the Mishkan, and to be parallel to the body with the neshama and so on. Now he says a few points he makes that are very interesting. I'm not telling you that this is, gospel truth. This is exactly how he said it. That is the pshat and nothing else. Lehefich el nochon nela madav v'nalamizeh. It certainly is more refined and higher than this. Oymani toyres alekimi u'misha kibla b'tmimas b'loyis pablos b'loyis chakmus me'ulam in eschakma choike. Ach misha nachmadegal yoynes es amechka mutav loykivak eshtam torm eila sheyseidem b'chakma loykis. So the Kuzari says, three madregas in the pursuit of all of this, of these inyanim. One is that if a person is tamim and accepts it the way it is, then that's the highest madrega. If he's not, then he should reinforce himself with good timing instead of timing that come from no place and sheker and so on and so forth. I want to talk about this a few minutes and explain it. What he means if he accepts it bitmimus and what's the mile of accepting bitmimus and so on. let's give an example. Whatever chachma you deal with, you start with empirical evidence. And you look for explanations. Now, The empirical evidence tends to be absolutely true. The explanations for it are usually tenuous sometimes. Maybe, for instance, a doctor finds that every time you give somebody this and this pill, this and this is reaction. That's a metzius. Now, I can give a svara for it. But in a certain sense, the just the metzius, the way it is, carries in itself a certain absolute emes. The minute you inject a svara into it, you're limiting it. This is one way of looking at it. This is a particular angle. It's not quite that way. So he says, just if a person learns kachim and takes it for what it is, this is kedusha, those are lachas, that's ideal in terms of being tevis the emes. But he says, once I'm giving svaras for it, the svaras should be teretic svaras. Amar Kuzari. So Kuzari says, if leis, so this is an important point in its own right. Amar Kuzari says, if leis alam shel mishalcha. I like the mashal a lot. Good mashal. Hachave. Ulam ala roish v'chush da'en shematim mashal v'ech v'aflo shan mishcha. I didn't hear anything about what corresponds to the head. We've got everything there except for the head. I once heard from the Nesiv Shalom, Shanach Bezovsky, once I heard from him, he was against, like, the night before the bris to be up all night. He was against it. He felt that you're out of it the next day. So he said a mashal. He said he once was discussing with a farmer in Baranovich, Linda Baranovich in the Slatim. And this farmer told him, he was kind of a philosophical farmer, he told him that he had done a lot of thinking about every organ in the body. And he realized the purpose of every organ in the body. The one organ that he hadn't come to, that he hadn't understood what its tachos is the head of a person. Till finally he realized that it's an incredibly well-engineered organ for putting a head on top of it. So his marshal was like a person comes to the bris with his hands and his feet and everything, and his head's not there. Like, what's the point of it? Just to put a shtreimel on it. That was his point of it. Like upon him, like the Kuzari says, you know, we've gotten wonderful mishalom for the stomach and the liver, the gallbladder, but what about the head? Amar Chava, Ochen, Sheresh HaChochma Oseres HaDibris, Mufkat Baroin Shmeregis HaLev. So Chochma Oseres HaDibris, which is in the Oren, which is Madregis HaLev. Ushlochoyse Vein Divrei Seif HaTeira Shehusim Mitzara Oren, Kakosse B'Santos Mitzaroin B'Sashem HaKechem. Poi HaMokal Shle HaChochmas. Chochmas HaTeira Shneisei HaKohanim, V'Chochmas HaLoikus Shneisei HaNeviim. Eila Velam Yotzim Devinim LeUma, Mechicha U'Mechichea, V'Koyses HaKosea Heimim HaShe'uma. So it's interesting. So he says the two taps, one is the heart, one is the mind, one is Chochmas HaTeira, one is Chochmas HaLoikus, which would sort of correspond to Nigla Nister, that type of arrangement. One tells me the halacha and what is, and one tells me the deeper meaning, how it connects to the Shbaruch Hu. Amar Kuzari, so Kuzari told him, in Cain, Ein chamayem kim guf b'lo yosh b'lev. So today, maximum, your body. You don't have your head and you don't have your heart. You're a decapitated body. Amar Chavar, Chavar answered, this is very beautiful, is, Kena Dava Shemata, you're right. G'doyle Mezais, I actually want to go a step further. Af loy guf, kivayvarim fuzarim. We're not a body. We are chopped up limbs. Me'ena atzama seveish or yecheskel b'mara. Not much different than atzama seveish or yecheskel. Ula melech ha-kuzari. But, melech ha-kuzari, I want to tell you. Ha'atzama sahein, ashe nishtaya ben dvar ma, miteva bal chayim, those bones that have something left over from the living beings, that used to be part of a living body, are infinitely better than bodies carved out of marble or stone. They possess, nominally, they seem to possess all Ivarim. They're never living. And they'll never have anything living. They're just imitations. I want to use a contemporary muscle for this. If you take a little kid and you show him a dog, and then you show him a dog made out of, plastic, whatever it is, looks very much like it, and a tiny, tiny bone of a dog that was. And yes, which is more similar? Well, of course, the dog that's made out of plastic, whatever it is. But anything that ever was part of a living being we know today, we can isolate DNA and recreate the being, theoretically, of the old one. Because it's an essence of that. So the Ummah Olam seem to have temples and worships and grandeur, and they seem to look like that type of nation, but it's all made out of stone. We don't have anything, but whatever we have, the bits and pieces are all part of a living being. They were living fully alive, and it's just a question till it's reconstituted. Amar Kuzari, Kidvarcha Keno. Yes, you're right. Amar Chava, and the Chava says over here, beautiful words. Ha'umos ha'meses, the dead nations, asha nisu lechakez umar chaya, that tried to imitate a living nation. At best, they have an outside similarity. They have priests and high priests and processions and incense and so on and so forth. Omnam gamenemi kimvat alai. They've also made temples. Ach bebotim ahem le nigla oisin zokai. But nothing ever, there was no sign of a living God. It's like a clay model, as close as the original. It never breathed, never sneezed, never did anything. Heim kibbalah and precious and zir Hashem v'yo, they tried to go into hiding and monasteries to get nevuah. Achilo shasalem, it never rested on them. Ve'af gam zois, and you know what else? Vashchisam darkam, when they did wrong, when they sinned, no fire came down. They couldn't feel pain either. I remember I once went with a tooth to a doctor, and he touched it with something cold, like very cold. And he asked me, do you feel any pain? I said, no. I touched something hot. Do you feel pain? No. So I thought, it's very good. I had no pain. He said, yeah, it's dead. And it's got to go out with the root together, because if it doesn't feel any pain, it's dead. The Ummah Sa'olam didn't get punished because they're dead. So something dead doesn't have suffer pain. And when the temples were destroyed, nothing changed. And the changes that have happened in all these nations, they're waxing and waning fortunes. It was simply because natural historical flow. They became more, bigger, stronger, weaker. Chazokim, echaloshim, shrim, machloikis, and machodim. Regular physical explanations, historical explanations. Hakol kevedech hateva mikra. Ulam, anachnu, kasha nifka libeinu beis mikdashenu. When our heart was destroyed, beis mikdash, nichleinu, we became ill. Because Yoshev libeinu leisonai, and when our hearts will come back to itself, nirpagam anachnu, when its heart will, in other words, when the heart being mismanaged, we will also be healed. Beishen rab meishen atim, it makes very little difference physically if we're going to be many or little. Yia matzein Hashem asheyia, ki yitzreinu lekim chayim, our Creator is a living God. Hu malkeinu, wa machzi v'dein atzein ayoyim, matzev apiz v'agolos. So just like when a person intends pain, that pain is part of his life force. His life force is sending pain. The Yordan Lamata is part of the living process. So therefore, our Ummah, we our fortunes rise and wane depending on our ruchni stigmats. Okay, so very beautiful kuzi, very, very chashu kuzi, many, many different points over here. It's kedai to remember this. That some sketching of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash is very accepted as the understanding of it. The concept of, we spoke about the lev and the seichel, the ruach and so on. The idea of how to look at it, and how to approach it, if be mekabel tarav et mimus or with taimim, the concept of we're decapitated today, we don't have kachamim and so on, and his understanding of a living God versus dead gods is very, those are all very, very significant points in Kuzari. Okay, any points, any questions? So the